In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Sally Rooney's second novel, Normal People, has generated a buzz of critical acclaim. Longlisted for the Booker Prize and winner of the Costa Novel Award. Its green cover is ubiquitous, piled high in Waterstones, clutched in the hands of many a commuter dashing through Waterloo. Normal People. It's a deceptively simple, yet universally recognised tale. Rooney draws us into an intricate web of intimacy and regret, affluence and poverty, quarrels and forgiveness. She does so by tracing the lives of Marianne and Connell from a small town in rural Ireland to their student life in Dublin. They are normal people, seemingly mismatched when judged by their popularity and class, yet bound together by an attraction, a meeting of minds as well as bodies. However much they understand and misunderstand themselves and each other, there is protection and vulnerability, a growing self-worth. She pours hot water on the coffee. White light floods the room as she draws the curtain. The day begins before work begins. She takes a shower, all perfectly normal. She dries her hair with a towel as he sits up in bed, closing down the laptop. They respond to the email he's received. Practicalities, questions, indecision. Normal life. And Connell says, I wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for you. In the words and silences of these characters, Rooney gives us more than a glimmer of hope. And Marianne thinks she's made a new life possible, and she can always feel good about that. In the words and silences of a final scene, Rooney gives us a glimpse of a love that gives dignity and purpose. It's not a saccharine cliche of happy ever after. That wouldn't do justice to the struggle with darkness of grief and violence, or the shadowy fears of being lonely and unlovable. Instead, Rooney echoes something more universal about how one person can shape another, how our lives can be indelibly marked by love, how goodness is a gift of patient care and acceptance, how life is given and chosen. Those universal concerns, the longings of normal people, are threads running through our scriptures. Threads which express our hopes, fears, and regrets as we try to make sense of ourselves and our world. Threads of silence and speech, stories of lament and praise, which seek not only to understand our innermost hearts, but also the God who created us. In our scriptures, those threads are woven together with a deep desire of God to communicate something of God's self to us. In words spoken on the holy ground near a burning bush, in the awesome silence after the earthquake, God is present. In the giving of commandments to love, we are invited to choose life. In their repetition and enactment, community is formed, In prophetic rebuke, we are called back to love mercy, do justly, and to walk humbly with God. In the song of the psalmist, we are reassured that our help does indeed come from God. This God gives life and is with us. In Numbers, the sometimes imperceptible reality of God's presence is made tangible. The assurance of God's nearness and faithfulness is made visible at a time of hardship. The joyous miracle of liberation from Egypt has now turned into the laborious journey to a new homeland. Nomadic life in the desert was challenging. Trust in God's promises wavered. The people reminisce about the food they used to eat in Egypt, the fish and the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, onions and garlic. Freedom has dinted the memory of slavery, and their earthly longings undermined their gratitude for manna from heaven. Yet, even in this book of discontent, complaint and grumbling, we see the presence of God. The tent at the center of the camp marks the divine presence with them always, and the cloud serves as a sign of when to rest and when to walk. When the cloud settles, they are to settle, making camp, lighting fire, telling stories, mending clothes, weaning infants, tending the sick, replenishing reserves. When the cloud lifts, they are to lift their feet, moving onwards, navigating their way through the wilderness, sharing responsibilities, seeking out intelligence about the land ahead, leading a new generation home. The one who had called them out of Egypt remained faithful. They'd learnt hard lessons about how to live together, facing disputes, jealousy, fatigue. In those human struggles, God was ever present. They learnt to discern, together, God's ways for them. Our lives might not be marked by a visible cloud, and yet perhaps we do sense when God is calling us to take our rest, to give our energies to one thing or another, to commit ourselves to a particular place or task, to learn something new, to take on a new responsibility. But cultivating habits of attentiveness to God in prayer, in scripture, in conversations with trusted companions, we also discern when God is calling us to a new thing. It might be a niggle of frustration, a feeling unsettled, a desire to use our gifts in a different place. It might be that we're entering a new season of life, where the availability of time and energy creates new opportunity. In both cases, dare we say yes? When God is calling us to settle, rest, and serve, when God is calling us to a new thing, to take a tentative step. This is at the heart of what the church means by vocation or calling. Listening deeply to one another and to God, discerning together the ways in which the Spirit might be challenging, encouraging, equipping, or inspiring us to stay or to let go and do a new thing. Neither staying or going are without risk or cost, but both are rooted in the love of God who says, choose life. For Paul, writing to the Christians in the vibrant, cosmopolitan city of Corinth, he was perhaps all too aware of the proliferation of choice. Choices about marriage or singleness, circumcision or uncircumcision, choices about the place of women and slaves, who to include or exclude, even choices about which spiritual gifts were most valuable. And his words, in that context, remain challenging and liberating. Let each of you lead the life that God has assigned, to which God called you. He cuts through the debates which preoccupy us, the Corinthians, and even Rooney's normal people. Status, race, intellect, gender, wealth, sexuality, abilities make no difference. We are to live integrated lives as individuals and in community, to live life in response to the love of God which changes us. Such freedom has been bought at great price. It reshapes every aspect of our social life. For now we are joined together in Christ's body with the power of the Spirit at work in us. We are to honour others. Such honour demands trust in the face of vulnerability, humility in the exercise of authority, generosity in hospitality, faithfulness in our relationships, compassion in response to the needs of others, wisdom in using our resources, and joy in the midst of normal people. Now I hear Marianne's words slightly differently. I hear them not about her human love, but God's love made human in Christ. A love that enables us to choose life.